This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
BT and Sal back on the fan final hour of the week for us on this Friday. And we'll continue with the conversation. We're talking some Knicks. We're talking Giants quarterback situation. Some Apple Pay as BT has found himself in a tough predicament without his wallet this morning. We have not mentioned the Johnnies with any detail yet. I know it was kind of squash game yesterday, but the Johnnies did what they had to. They were 12.5-point favorites. They rolled over Butler. You were there, BT, to get things started with the Big East tournament. How, for the Johnnies, they'll play tonight against Marquette. I'm looking forward to going and getting the feel for the energy. I love the Big East tournament. I'm going to love it, I think, even more with St. John's being the premier team in it. Give me your thoughts first, yesterday's game and the energy and all that stuff.
They smacked them. I did not think that the energy was great yesterday, to be very honest with you, in the building. I was a little surprised by that. And, you know, I even and Rick said that in his post-game press conference. He said, I saw a lot of blue in here today. And he said, I think he even said must have been a lot of Marquette fans. Now, listen, I get
Caitlin it. Caitlin Clark in the building rooting for Butler.
Yes, as she was. She was at Carneseca earlier in the year when they played. I remember seeing her. I think I mentioned that to you.
Yeah, you might have.
That she was there. So I think what you get here is now it's next level stuff. You get a doubleheader tonight. You get the four best teams in the conference, Marquette, St. John's. You've got, obviously, UConn and Creighton. Creighton almost lost last night, double overtime. I was really pulling for DePaul. That would have been fun. I get it. I know it was a noon tip, a little lazy here. But it's not like this just like middle of the day and... It was, you know, my barometer this year is maybe I'm being unfair to St. John's fans. Again, I didn't think the atmosphere was great yesterday, but I'm also coming from a place. The last three games I've done at the Garden, it's been 20,000 people every single game sold out and as frenetic and as wild as it's been since the 80s. This is a little different here because you get a certain allotment for each school.
Right.
And also, I do think the tone of the game changes things a little bit. Like St. John's basically ran them out of the gym.
Yeah, they were supposed to, and
yeah,
they did.
Yeah, they were, I think, 12.5-point favorites. Mm-hmm. They wound up winning by 21 points. So, and the one time that Butler threatened just a little, I think they cut it to 9. St. John's ripped off a couple of buckets in a row and just said, that's it. So, I mean, listen, if it's a 2-, 3-, 4-, 5-point game, which maybe would have been alarming because St. John's was supposed to beat Butler easier than that, and they did, I'm sure the crowd would have been into it more if there was a 2- or 3-possession game. But tonight is where the juice comes. You're going to be in for a treat there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So let me tell you, here's why I'm a little nervous about it, because I feel like I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop with St. John's at some point. You and I even had this conversation the first time that they played UConn. I was like, yeah, all right, well, this is probably a tough spot to go up there. Not that they're not as good or better than UConn. Not that they couldn't win that game. But it just felt like, hey, they've won all these games in a row. They're bound to lose at some point. They didn't. They won. They beat them in the rematch. Like, they just kept winning and winning and winning. And to a point where you obviously believe in them. And then even yesterday, I'm like, all right, let's see. First game of the tournament. Big favorites. Let's see how they handle it. And they dominated Butler. So for me, from an outside perspective, although Coach said I'm on the inside now, but from an outside perspective, just watching this team saying, okay, I feel as good as I felt about them all year long. And that makes me nervous going into what I know is going to be a tough matchup against Marquette tonight.
They're tougher than Marquette. They're tougher.
I know, but you know things happen. Even if they lose, like, it doesn't mean they're not as good. It just means...
Absolutely. I'm not even predicting a win here. I'm just saying I have faith that St. John's toughness will win out tonight. But you never know. I mean, Marquette gets red hot. They've got a pro. Cam Jones is a pro.
Right.
And, you know, he scored 30 against them last time. They couldn't stop him. And that was a little surprising, even though St. John's won in overtime last Saturday. Yeah, I mean, listen, I look at the... And we talked a lot about the shooting, right, of St. John's. Can they shoot enough to make a real run here? I think yesterday's numbers, while not incredibly eye-popping, were good enough. Like, if they can stay at this threshold for the next month or so, they can go to the Final Four. They shot 75% from the free throw line. I want to say 35 or 36% from three and 46% overall. Those are very workable numbers. As long as they're not in, like, the teens or the 20s or the 50s from the free throw line, which they seem to be working past. And, you know, it's going to be fun. I think tonight is going to be it's different in the sense. Last year, going into the semifinal game against UConn. Now, St. John's lost the tie, but I think they lost by five. But I know they scored 90 points against UConn in defeat. And that was the most that UConn had given up all year. UConn went on to win the national championship. Everybody, or most of us, including myself, thought that that loss, that showing, coupled with the wins prior, remember St. John's got hot at the end of last year, would be enough to propel them maybe into Dayton, maybe one of the last at-large
seats. But into the tournament.
And they didn't. They didn't get in, okay? The difference tonight is I think they're pretty much locked into their seed. They're not going to be, I talked to you and Boomer yesterday when I called in, they're not going to be a one seed no matter what. They're just not. And I think it's either two or three. If they were to lose tonight, they're a three seed. If they win tonight and they win tomorrow, they're a two seed.
Well, I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my follow-up to the in this conversation. Because of that, it does minimize the, maybe excitement is the right word
theater
to use, for this particular tournament, because we know it really doesn't ultimately mean that much. Outside of St. John's just completing the near-perfect season... If they lose, all right, they lost. Where are we going? Where are we going Selection Sunday? What team are we going to be? And it's probably not going to impact their seed, to your point, that much anyway.
Yesterday could have. If they lost yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. But they didn't. They squashed them. And then the other way would have been, like last year, hey, it's more exciting because the further you go in the Big East tournament, the more likely you are to be a tournament team where there was something on the line.
Uh-huh.
Right now, outside of just St. John's finishing the job, there really isn't much on the line in the Big East tournament for them.
Well, I would say that depends on how much you love the history of the conference and how much you love the best tournament in college basketball.
Well, you want to win it.
You know what I mean? Because think about all the years. Like, we were referencing the six overtime game back in 09 with UConn and Syracuse. You were there. Remember?
Yes, you were there for that. Yeah.
You know, you referenced
Diebendorf, all that.
Diebendorf and McNamara, those guys. You referenced that. And even when St. John's won the Big East championship in 86, when Ron Rowan hit a jump shot and Walter Berry blocked Pearl at the buzzer, or when Georgetown won it with Patrick or with Iverson and Ray Allen and all the different legends that have gone through the Big East. Kemba Walker, when he won five straight games, and starting with the Pitt win when he hit a jump shot at the buzzer. Like, all those teams were already in the tournament. Most of those teams were inside the top 10, like, that won it. Like, the great UConn teams, the great St. John's, the great Syracuse's. And there was still an energy and a desire to win. So I know what you mean. It won't necessarily impact the bottom line.
With them, with St. John's.
But same with many of the predecessors. And I still didn't feel that way.
Well, I guess I'm telling you.
The prestige matters.
From my perspective is that this is the first time I really have an interest in one particular team. Whereas in years past, it would be, okay, Syracuse or UConn, or you just following
just the whole
along
thing, basically.
Exactly.
West Virginia.
So, yeah, exactly. Right. So I would say that, and you obviously are more qualified than me to say this, but wouldn't you think that this tournament is more important to another team that may be on the bubble, or is there even that?
No. Xavier.
UConn's getting in regardless?
Oh, God, yeah. UConn's in, Marquette's in, Creighton's in, St. John's is obviously in. St. John's will be by far the highest seed here.
Right.
I think that the only team that had a real chance, and some people still have Xavier in, even though they lost
yesterday. So they would have been a team that could have made
an impact. Yeah, like if Xavier would have won yesterday, and then I think they're absolutely in.
Right.
Now you got to look at what happens with North Carolina today.
Yeah. Also, the Big East just is not, even going over these teams. Like,
it's a little down. It's a little down compared to others.
You said that yesterday, but even just the teams in itself, like, I know it's been a while since we lost Syracuse, but having them in it, I remember those days, like you said, you'd have Pitznoggle in here.
I love that West Virginia team. Mike Gansey was on that team, and Beilein was the coach. And I was a big fan. I was the West Virginia team I loved.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, Sal. And, yeah, I mean, when you look at, and again, we tend to romanticize this, but even if you don't overly romanticize it, I think that it's a little misleading to say that it feels exactly the same.
Right.
It doesn't, but college basketball is not the same. The portal, the money, the coaches that are saying, get me out of here.
What's the biggest storyline of the Big East tournament? Just St. John's?
I think it's really St. John's.
Okay.
I really do.
And that's kind of my point, right? So is there a secondary storyline? UConn bouncing or what?
I think the secondary storyline would be, you mean going in or right now?
Either way.
I can give you a couple other ones. Yeah. Like, Kyle Neptune, very well, going to get fired from, I would think he's going to get fired from Villanova. That was if he would have won a few games, maybe he would have saved his job.
They didn't, okay.
So. And they lost yesterday. So that's, like, that was a storyline. Xavier, would they be the fifth seed? They still might. That was a storyline. I think the other storyline for me, now, I'm not even pushing St. John's past Marquette. It's going to be a tough game tonight. Yeah. It's going to be tough, right? St. John's favored by 3.5. We'll see what happens. But to me, the outside of St. John's winning it and doing what they're doing, I think the other storyline here is really UConn. UConn's got a couple of the pros on that team. Their freshman, McNeely, is unbelievable. Caravan, Danny Hurley trying to go back-to-back-to-back. Now,
can they get back to being a scary
team?
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. And I don't love their point guard situation, so they don't handle Diarra's kind of more of a hybrid. Whatever, I don't get nuts with this. But can UConn somewhat reestablish themselves and give themselves a chance to win three straight?
Right, and if they win the Big East tournament, they're going to be back.
Further validation.
I agree with that even from afar, and that's why I say, so St. John's the biggest story. And if they don't win the tournament, it's not that big of a deal because it's not going to impact their seeding.
It's not that big of a deal to you. It's a big deal to St. John's fans who've been waiting for this.
I get.
The coronation.
Understood. Understood. But ultimately, I'm talking about as far as their ranking,
impact, or seeding. No.
Yeah, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. And I would expect tonight's energy, like you said, to be way better than it was yesterday afternoon. Back to the calls, BT, Giants quarterback conversation with Bobby in Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey,
listen, Ward, good afternoon, BT. Ward quit on his teammates after getting to where he is at the bowl game. He's played the stupid record, so that shows his character. And Saunders, I was in Florida watching that bowl game at a bar, and he looked horrible against BYU. He hasn't won a big game in his career. So I don't like either one. Why don't they just draft Hunter and get Will Howard in the third round?
Well, Bobby, let me ask you this. And again, start throwing out third-round picks. I'm not saying that it's not interesting. We're going to get there. We've thrown out a few, like Milroe from Bama. But let me finish one thought, because I don't know that this is always a foreshadow of future success. Like, what big game in college did Josh Allen win at Wyoming? I don't know of any.
Yeah, but Josh Allen played pretty damn well. I mean, he threw a lot of yards.
I watched him at Wyoming. I remember watching him on the Big Ten Network against Iowa because I thought the Jets would have a real chance to draft him, and I wasn't particularly impressed. Like, I actually sought him out. The other guys were easy. You know, you can find Baker, you can find Darnold, you can find Josh Rosen. I had to go out of my way. I was jumping through hoops to find Josh Allen, and I did, and you look at his numbers. Not incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Bobby, with the third round pick and this and that and getting on these guys. Cam Ward didn't quit on his team. I don't want to hear it. These guys are all about themselves anyway. That's what it is now, especially with the NIL money. It's totally different than it was. So, what
do
you got?
An update from the wife here.
Okay, Jen, text back.
Yeah, she wrote, "All right, I'm just getting home. Let me find you a tutorial." I thought she was doing all the work for me.
So did I. It sounds like a tutorial means she's going to figure out a way for you to
figure
it out.
She's passing the buck. Now, maybe knowing her, she is really good with this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe she found out in her research that the only way it can be done is that I have to do it. Like, maybe she can't do it for me.
No, if she had your sign-in and password, she could do it. Yeah. Just text her your sign-in and password and whatever.
I actually forgot it, though. I did.
Well, somebody's got to have that. If you don't have that, you're in trouble then. Yeah. You could probably reset it, but that's going to take a while anyway. Joe is at Deer Park. What's up, Joe?
Hey, BT and Sal.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. What's going on, man?
I want to talk about the Giants, not about the quarterback. I feel like, and deservedly so, they suck. But I'm 60 years old. I've been a fan since Fran Tarkenton. I've seen the team be good, be bad. This is as bad as it's been.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, BT, you never kill the Jets. Case in point, the day they lost to the Colts, go back and listen to the way Gio came on. I know he's a Viking fan. And he killed the Jets. You never kill your team. They lost when they lost to the Colts. That's when the Giants decided to bench Daniel Jones. You guys opened with Daniel Jones that day. You never touched on how embarrassing that defense couldn't tackle
Dude,
anybody.
Dude, I crushed the Jets, man.
You overrate the Jets.
Joe, I crushed the Jets. All right, I'm going to meet you a little bit in the middle here, Joe. All right, I'm going to be totally transparent, and I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to give you my analysis of myself as a Jets fan slash broadcaster. I do think going into seasons, I'm going to give you this part, Joe, that I probably skew a little more optimistically to start
yeah,
with the Jets.
Right. You want to do that. Yeah.
But as soon as I see the first sign of wreckage, I crush them as much as anybody, and that includes Beningo. Anybody in the world.
I don't know. Beningo really crush. But you guys seem to, like, you really.
Don't say you guys.
Hold on.
Don't say you guys. I have killed everybody, every team in this town. I don't care what their name is. Mets, Jets, Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, all of them.
You do. You kill everybody and anybody when they deserve it. I know. Right now, the Giants deserve it. But let me explain something to you. Being a fan all those years, I got to go to growing up. You know why there's so many Cowboy and Steelers fans as a kid?
Yeah, because the Giants sucked in the 70s.
Right, but the best thing was, and you guys never experienced this as a fan.
But wait, Joe, let me ask you something.
I went to the stores and bought Giants Super Bowl hats. Do you have any Jets? I saw the Jet game. I was about
five
years old.
But what is your point,
Joe? Giants are better than the Jets, Joe. You win.
Yeah, Joe, I've been to a Giants Super Bowl.
Joe?
I went to a Giants Super Bowl, too. I saw them beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 42. I don't understand the point. Do you think we're being too harsh on the Giants?
That's what he's saying.
No, but one day you were talking about, like, the history. You were, BT. I drive a truck, so I'm in and out. I don't hear every segment.
Uh-huh.
But you go, one day I came in, you were going, Who are the Giants? Like, maybe they overrate themselves as a franchise.
Well, here's what I've said, Joe.
What has your franchise done?
Well,
we have had major success.
I understand. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version in terms of my
–
thank good call. The Cliff Notes for my franchise, what has my franchise done? Nothing. Let me get back to yours. So the Giants, right? What's happened to the Giants here? What I have definitely clearly stated and will stand by. The Giants have lost their way. The Giants brand has been unequivocally diminished. There is no way to dispute that. John Mara's a good man. John Mara has been a bumbling mess the last couple of years owning the Giants. Fact. So, and by the way, Joe, I think part of the reason why maybe, you know, you think I'm a little harder on the Giants than the Jets, but and that's fine if you hear that, that's fine. Because right now we're talking more about the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the part before where I said to Sal, like, you know, if the Jets still employed Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh and Rodgers, like, the venom in the fangs would be ridiculous what I would be doing to the Jets right now. Ridiculous. But they have new men in place, and I've got to give them a chance to show me and show us who they are. Much like I'll do with the Giants when they eventually move on from Shane and Dable, whatever quarterback they draft, so on and so forth. When you're in year four and you've done nothing, and it's on the back end of their predecessors having done nothing, there's not much good to say.
Yeah, I just don't get it. As a matter of fact, I tried. You know me. Last year, they made me look like an idiot. The Giants. Twice. I believed in Dable. And then it became harder to push back, BT, where you're like, well, why? What are you saying that about Dable? What makes you think he's good? I see the team's competitive and this and that. And then, like, they lose again. And they lose another week. And then at some point, you got to wave the white flag and say, you know what? If I think he's a good head coach, he's got to start winning some games. Look at his record. I mean, there's really no. Is the defense good? No. Special teams good? No. Offense, can they forget about score touchdowns? Can they move the ball? No. but hey, they had a great draft class. What a draft class out there. Can't run the football, can't throw the football, can't catch the football, can't kick the football, can't tackle somebody running with the football. But yeah, I mean, you want us to be positive about the Giants. You got fans there sitting in the stands with bags over their heads. Guys flying, paying planes to fly overhead, saying, fire everybody, sell the team, but we're too harsh on the Giants. Like, come on.
Maybe we have to reconsider ourselves. Maybe we have it wrong with the Giants.
Yeah. I hope that we do.
I really want the Giants to get good. I really do. I do.
I would go under a different formula to try to have them get out of where they've been.
As would I.
Could this work? I guess. Will it work based on the moves that it seems like they're going to make? Likely not.
WFAN was born in 1987. The last 10-year run for the Jets and the Giants has been by far the most wretched, empty, disappointing, and just depressing decade of football since this station was born.
Right, between the two teams.
And it's not fun. It's not fun. Like,
you don't even watch it on Sundays.
And we have to, though. That's the worst part.
Well, I checked out
last year. Listen, I'm not saying I don't check at the end of the season. You know what I'm saying? But, like, even when you know it's going, and they're 2-6, whether it's the Jets or the Giants, I'm sitting there with my 1980s legal pad. That's, like, the only old school thing I do. And I chart these games. I'm like, just in case this comes up with a caller on Monday, a timeout, a fumble, a questionable decision, a bad call by the ref. And you do it because we know how much you guys care about these teams. That's why we do it to the degree that we do.
Oh, we do love to do it, but it's just, like, there's nothing appealing about what the Jets and Giants have put out there on Sundays, especially in comparison to the other teams around the league. Like, at least give me a good offensive team. At least give me a good defensive
team. Something that you can
gravitate to. At least give me
a
team that's well-coached, that doesn't beat themselves.
Yeah.
It actually makes me sick watching it. Like, I can't take stupidity or doing things wrong, incorrectly, and that's all that these two teams have done for the better part of the decade.
Listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'll take you behind the curtain here. When you do what we do, when we come out, like, I'm going to say a hit piece, but it's not specific to a person. I don't mean it like that. Like a hit monologue where we're just coming out and we are crushing. Rightfully so. Rightfully so crushing, right? Sometimes it feels good, like, to do it. But when you have to do it all the time, you play yourself out. And now it's no longer fun. Like,
we don't want
a script like that forever. We want change.
Nobody wants to hear the negativity all the time. We certainly don't want to do it all the time. Unfortunately, the Jets and Giants, we're having the same conversations every year. Draft pick, what are they going to do? Quarterback, new head coach, new general manager. It's a vicious cycle in season. Team stinks. Do this, do that. Oh, BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan on this Friday afternoon, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Let's get back to the phones, BT. We've talked about a lot of different things so far today. By the way, any luck with that Apple Pay? Are you still,
you're
going to have to figure that out.
It's still out.
The garden tonight.
Still looking for some loot.
Maybe the go to the parking garage guy and be like, look, bro, I'll get you back tomorrow. Johnny's will be here tomorrow. I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'll hit you tomorrow. Just let me park today, and then you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
And if they lose, and you know, it's a win-win. If they lose, you don't have to worry about paying the guy back. And if they win, you're going back
still
there
tip
anyway.
Them, though.
Yeah. I told you, I got $5 on me.
You got five. That's what you did say. You got five on
it. I got five on me, yeah.
Five on it.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. On that topic, by the way, Paul's in Southington, Connecticut. What's up, Paul? You have some advice for BT?
Yeah, BT, how you doing, man?
Hey,
all
buddy.
You got to do is call your bank, because I lost my card a couple of weeks ago, and they'll automatically connect it for you to your phone.
Really?
Yeah, that's all you got to do, man.
All right.
Call your bank. Call whatever bank you have, and they'll connect it.
Sounds easy.
Was that a bird or an alarm going off there? What do you got, Paul?
Oh, I'm delivering for FedEx, and I'm outside right now, so it's a bird.
There you go.
Better than snow hitting you. That a boy.
Yeah, so I got another question, if I can.
Yeah.
First, let's go Huskies.
Ugh, get out of here, Huskies.
Second, I'm a Dolphins fan, and I think they're the worst franchise in the league by far.
They're not.
Let me tell you why. They haven't won a playoff game in 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's embarrassing. Sorry, Paul. And thank you for the call and for the insight.
It has been
nice to hear those birds chirping there. Yeah, the Dolphins, think about that. Like,
Won a playoff game.
In 25 years. Like, Lamar Smith, I'm pretty sure, was the running back from Miami the last time. Did they beat the Colts in that game? 2000 wild card round, maybe? They won a playoff game?
Who was the quarterback?
Was it Jay Fiedler?
That sounds right. Let me see. I'm looking at this thing. All right, so, goodness gracious. Yeah, Dolphins. I've got something for you here. Dolphins 24. That was the 2000 AFC wildcard game.
Okay. Was it the Colts?
It doesn't say the opponent here, unfortunately. The Raiders, 22 years. Good God. The Jets, 14. The Bears, 14.
And since they've won, think about that. Like, at least the Giants. Now, you could look back at the Giants, say, 2022. Well, yeah, it wasn't the best thing that could happen, and it wasn't. But at least in that year, fans got to experience a winning season that resulted with a win in the playoffs. Like, that means something.
Yeah, let me see. It does. No, it absolutely does. There's no doubt. It buys you some equity here. So we know about the Jets with the playoff drought. Now, I know we're talking playoff wins. This is just playoff appearances.
Yeah.
Carolina is second with 7. Your Falcons with 7.
What, how many years it's been since a playoff appearance?
Yeah, since they've actually gotten
it.
Jets
been that
14.
Long?
Yeah, Jets 14, Panthers 7, Falcons 7. Then you have the Colts, the Bears, and the Saints 4 each. Oof.
Yeah, I mean, getting to the playoff, obviously winning a game. Like, you want to get there, and then the next step is, all right, win a game. But I will tell you, the Falcons had a great run with Matt Ryan, and as a fan at that particular time, was a diehard fan into it, it was the greatest thing that I've experienced, you know, resulting in a Super Bowl, multiple NFC championship games. Like, they were winning playoff games, they were there regularly.
For sure.
It was a fun run, but it's almost like, well, all right, that's great, what have you done for me lately? Maybe it'd be different if they won the Super Bowl, then it's like, it doesn't really matter because you won.
Mm-hmm.
But chasing the playoffs now is more, you know.
I get it, but I don't think it matters. Maybe you get an extra 2 or 3 years of leniency, but think about the Yankees. Like, the Yankees haven't won since 09.
Right.
And
but still, you're experiencing the postseason and
wins. You got to win.
Getting to the World Series last year.
I've seen enough divisional and championship. Yeah. I want a World Series.
Don't you think football a little different?
It is a little bit different. I think it is different.
And maybe the Yankees are the exception because they're just in the playoffs every... I mean, 30 years, they've missed the playoffs 5 times. And also, winning a baseball playoff game is a lot different than, you know...
A series.
Well,
I also think it's easier to check out. Like, if you have a bad baseball team, and I know we're different because we inhale the Yanks or the Mets here in the city. Great baseball fans. But I don't know. I feel like when the Jets and the Giants are awful, it's harder to escape their awfulness than it is when the Yanks and the Mets are awful. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I don't know why that is.
Maybe because football is more popular.
Well, or maybe because naturally, there are other things to hang on to during the course of the baseball season.
During the summer.
Yeah, maybe during the summer. Or just, you know, hope for next year, this or that. With football, it just feels different. When you're stuck early on in a lost football season, you're screwed. You know how 10 weeks to go, these games don't mean anything. There's no way out of this.
Yeah.
You're hoping to get the draft. I don't know what baseball feels like. Maybe because you could spend your way out of it in baseball, and then you hope to go spend more money in the offseason.
I think that might be one answer to it. I think the other thing, too, is at least, you know, think about what we're talking about with the Giants, Sanders, Cam Ward, you know, years ago with the Jets, with Zach and Darnold, and obviously Daniel Jones with the Giants before that. Like, when you have a bad football team, even if you kind of check out of the snap-to-snap progressions of the season, at least there's a carrot because you know the college players.
Right.
If you're, like, if the Yankees were to win 73 games this year or the Mets won 73 games, you don't even know any of these high school players. You might know, like, this kid from Vanderbilt, I hear, is going to be picked number one. There's less
knowledge. But the equivalent would be
knowledge.
The equivalent would be the prospects and the false hope of that. Oh, Spencer Jones is going to be great. Oh, Brett Beatty's going to be or whatever.
Yeah, but the prospects are unknown.
Yeah.
Like, at least.
Yeah, but so are the guys in the draft.
But I mean, yeah, but I feel like there's more. I feel like, you put it this way, Sal, we're not watching the 6'6 first baseman lefty in Houston, Texas right now, who's the number one high school player at some Jesuit school in Houston. We're watching Shador Sanders and we're watching Cam Ward. It's just a different level of familiarity.
Also, free agency feels more impactful in baseball than it does in the NFL. I'm not saying that that is accurate, but it feels that way, maybe because it is the cap. Andrew's in Westchester talking about the Johnnies. What's up, Andrew?
Let's go.
What's up, Sal and BC? How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, man. What's happening?
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
All right, a few things. One is, I think a year ago this day, I called in. You guys were in Stout,
yes.
If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Celebrating the big tournament, right?
Yeah.
And I called this exact day, BT, really old school like yourself, a few years older than Sal, like Big East, wonderful memories.
Mm-hmm.
Really big the Johnnies tonight. I got to say two things. I have two feelings as it relates to listening to the show earlier today.
Okay.
BT, I know you sidetracked with the banking and Apple Pay today. I probably sound like an old man when I say that.
Mm.
But I wanted you to push back on Sal a little bit. You know,
you wanted me to, or you want to push back?
I want you to push back.
On what?
I expected you to push back a little bit on Sal as far as his opinion goes about, like, how important the game is tonight and tomorrow night for the Johnnies. Like, there's a storied franchise history here. Now, I know, as a listener, you're a really big St. John's fan from many years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like Sal is kind of on board now because it's popular.
He's going tonight.
And well, it's not popular. I mean, it's fun to talk about. I wouldn't consider myself a diehard St. John's fan. No, I'm rooting for the Johnnies, for BT, for the show, for Coach Pitino, who said that I'm part of the team now. So, yeah, that's my team. But, like, I'm not a fan. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, my point was not to minimize their accomplishment. I acknowledge that the top story of the Big East tournament was that St. John's needs to finish their story and complete this near-perfect season by winning the Big East tournament. However, it doesn't impact where they are going to be seated in the NCAA tournament. So I am more excited. I think the bigger story is about Selection Sunday and where they're going, who they're playing, what seed they're going to be, which really shouldn't be impacted by the Big East tournament results. That's all I was saying.
Okay, well, if I can add a few points to that, and I appreciate your further context, because I'm just keeping it real. That didn't really come across that way when you were first talking about it. Because there is a difference with all due respect. I know it's just a number, but when you're a 2 seed versus a 3 seed, there is a difference with the seeding.
Right, but
who you play in the second game.
Right, but BT was saying that it's not going to get impacted whether they lose tonight or whether they win the Big East tournament, that they're likely going to be the same seed that they would be, right?
If they win, they'll be a 2. If they lose tonight, they'll be a 3. I'm saying they won't be a 1.
Okay.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have a chance to move up with a 2 if they win the Big East.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're on board, Sal. I mean, actually, I'm originally a Syracuse fan from the 80s.
Ew.
But once everybody migrated to the ACC, I kind of just stuck with the Big East. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But, you know, I hope you guys have a good time. I hope you guys have a good time at the game. I hope the Johnnies win. My family has big ties to the Johnnies. Grandfather is in the Sports Hall of Fame there.
Oh, wow.
So, like, we're big Johnnies people.
I got you.
So,
it's a, you honestly, know, it's a great time, dude.
Good Andrew, call, Andrew.
Thanks for the call. It really is amazing. Now, when you say you want me to push back, I can't tell somebody what to feel. You know, we can lay things out. And that, that's why when I say that if you're a St. John's fan, if you are truly a devout fan, especially if you're an older fan, like tonight means everything. And if you get to tomorrow night means everything. For somebody like Sal, who wants the program to do well, as he said, for me, for the show, for Patino, for the city, it's more about what's the biggest story, because he's not coming at it from an emotional place for himself, whereas I am and the other diehards are.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you wanted me to push back on. I can't tell him what to feel.
Yeah, and by the way, it wasn't meant to be pushed back. I was asking you.
No, he was telling me to push back.
No,
I
know.
Push back on what?
Right, Brent, but there really was nothing to push back on, because I'm telling you and really asking you. I'm giving you a little bit of how I feel about it and asking you. Like, for me, the story's got to be, okay, what's on the line? There's drama tonight. If St. John's, like last year, if St. John's wins this Big East tournament, they will be a tournament team. I like that. There's something on the line. There's a title on the line, so to speak, like wrestling. If there's, oh, well, if they lose to Marquette tonight, they might be a three, they could be a two, whatever. But basically, it's going to be the same thing, two or three seed. And you could say that there's a big difference in that, and that's fine. That's a different conversation. I even like the fact that you said that, because I must have missed that before, BT, that if they win the tournament, they'll be a two seed, but if they don't, they could be a three.
Yes.
Okay, well, then there is something more on the line, because I'd rather be a two seed.
You got to avoid the number one seed. You're on the other side of the bracket. That's a little carrot there.
It's also saying that if St. John's loses tonight, they're not going to be crushed as a program. It's not going to take away. It's going to hurt a little bit. I know you want to win the Big East tournament, but they've had a terrific regular season, and they're going to be a tournament team. Like, think about how great this year is. That's all that I was saying. They're just kind of that the swing from losing tonight potentially or winning the tournament tomorrow night potentially is not that significant outside of the emotion of winning the Big East tournament.
Exactly, and that's what I knew that you said that when this came up. Listen, let me just say it like this. Tonight and tomorrow, if St. John's is able to do this, however many thousands, hundreds of thousands, whatever St. John's fans, I mean the real ones that have been for a while, it's validation. Because deep down, even with, you know, knocking on the door of 30 wins and being the number six team in the country, let's face it, guys, we all know that nobody's walking around saying, hey, is Duke, now let's see if Cooper Flagg is right, is Duke really this good? Is Auburn really this good? Is Tennessee really this good? Is Houston? But they're saying that about St. John's. And it's a personal pride. It's a source of pride. You know, we've all seen the picture of Walter Berry with the net over his head when they won it back in 86 and Beast of the East on SI. We want a snapshot for this year. So, no, Selection Sunday will not be largely impacted whether they win or lose, but we want this for us. And there's nothing wrong with wanting it for us, because if you're still here, that means you've been there through a bunch of slop. You bet your ass we want this, even if it means nothing for the seating.
BT, it's Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up on the phones when we come back.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by my friends at Edison Heating and Cooling. That's when we're going to the Nets game tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. Nice. Hanging out with Mike from Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. AJ in Manhattan has maybe an idea. What's up, AJ?
I have a great idea for you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife can put your wallet in a shoe box or any kind of box that is not, easy to somebody to figure out, and send it through Uber package to you, wherever you are. It can be to you in within an hour. You know, you're sitting there and the delivery can come.
It's Uber, a good idea.
Uber package.
How I know that, because I'm a driver myself. I'm a taxi driver.
So I got you.
I've done this for gazillion people all the time. And we have done this packages from city to the Hamptons to Connecticut to anywhere, from Jersey to anywhere.
See, AJ, there's one little problem here.
Thank you, AJ.
I don't trust people.
Well, you wouldn't keep $600 in the wallet. and they also
I have credit card. You know, I have information.
Tell Jen.
My license.
Just put my license, one credit card, and maybe $100 in there. You wrap it up in a nice package. You glue the package shut like you're mailing it, and have somebody come pick it up. See, Uber, what did he say it was called? Uber package?
That's not a real thing, but what he's saying, I think.
Not a real thing. Okay.
No, I think what he's saying is, hey, call an Uber, have that guy show up, and then he'll do it for you.
That's what I thought he meant.
Well,
right.
See, that's otherwise known as Mitchell and Four Lakes. I mean, I have my own Uber package. And, of course, BT forgetting his wallet today, so he's coming to work. We did have a lot of people saying that they would help. Mitchell and Forley keeps texting me, hey, I'll Venmo BT. I'm like, no, that's the point. He doesn't have the Venmo or all this other stuff. So people
I do.
Want
I
help
just
out.
Don't know how to. I don't use it. I Venmo.
Right, and then I'm wondering, though, even if I did Venmo you money, it's not going to do any good. How are you going to get it from your Venmo to your hand?
No, I know.
You
I know.
Need cash. That's the problem.
Yeah, cash would be good.
Yeah, and no solution from Apple Wall with Jen at all. Your wife was on that.
It's got a little dark the last hour or so, I noticed.
Okay, so she's didn't exactly send you the handbook on how to get the Apple.
No tutorial.
No tutorial. Yeah. By the way, Zoo just quickly dismissed the Uber package thing. I do believe that is, in fact, a real thing. Did you look into that at all or no? We had callers saying that was a real thing.
I did no research.
Oh, you didn't? Just bounce it out. Hoff saying Warner's going to come back out of retirement to play quarterback for the Giants. Zoo saying Uber package is not a real thing without any real research. I do believe that Uber package is an actual thing.
Is it really?
It is for businesses.
So it is.
We're a business, no?
yeah, LLC. Yes.
BT and Sal on the Failage finish up on the phones. Anthony's in Garden City talking about the Giants quarterback situation. What's up, Ant?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I just want to say one thing before I get to my point. Sal, what a fun time with Boomer yesterday morning. That was a nice surprise in the morning going to work.
Yeah, it was a fun ride. I appreciate Boomer having me, and that was fun. And we even had BT on at 9 o'clock, so it felt nice to talk to my partner as well at different hours. It was a fun show.
It's the best. So I was just listening earlier, and the comment that was made about the Arch Manning, I'm a little sick of hearing about the tanking, you know, that situation with the Giants also. I'm a Giants fan. I just want to see them win. But I'll give you a good example of the bloodline, how that's working out. But how about Bronny James? That bloodline's working out real well for the NBA, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that was the guy's name. If you missed it, we're like, well, why do you have so much faith in Arch? It's like bloodlines. And by the way, he does look to be a very physical, very fast, very different profile than, you know, the rest of his bloodlines who really weren't elite athletes. He's quicker. He's different. He's quicker twitch. But he hasn't played a lot of football.
Yeah, and you can't tank now for something that someone that might be available then. And even if you do get him, he's not going to. There's no guarantee he's going to be the answer. I'm with Tiki on this. I'm so tired of the tanking talk. It's why we've talked about this dating back to, you know, years, BT, since you and I have been together. And even before that, I'm sure you with Tiki and me doing the overnights or doing solo shows. Like, I think it's gotten so bad that the leagues need to step in and force the issue and change the draft order based on where teams finish in the season, because there's no good coming out of fans openly, willingly preferring to rooting for their team to lose so they could have a higher draft pick. That happens way too often.
Yeah, and if there's no penalty, forget about the fans for a second, even though I agree with that. If there's no penalty for, yes, and there's different definitions of tanking, which is what rankles Tiki, which I get. But if you don't put out your best foot forward to win, then the overall product is just watered down. So, yeah, the fans lose out, but also people who aren't fans of a certain team, there's just a lot of bad football that we're exposed to.
Right. And rooting for that to continue is just not a good thing either from a fan's perspective. Chris is calling from Port Washington. What's up, Chris?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good.
Here's how we're going to end this for the day. The fallacy that the Giants are this pinnacle of football is completely false, okay? In the 70s, they were terrible. It took them 15 years to get lucky to find Parcells, draft LT. They had a miracle Super Bowl win with, Norwood Ride. They were decent for 4 years. It kind of stunk in the 90s for the latter part of it. They had the greatest Super Bowl win ever in 2007. And in 2011, they were terrible. They were the worst statistical teams to ever win the Super Bowl. The last, and now listen, I was a season ticket holder. I'm a huge Giants fan. The last 15 years, if you go to StatMuse or whatever, the Chiefs average, I know they're generational players, best offense ever, blah, blah, blah. the best offense in the league in the last 15 years, scored 5,400 points. The Giants have scored 3,700. That's two possessions less, right? That's they need the ball twice before they could even get to even. Now, they don't like the quarterback, that's fine. But if you believe history repeats itself, you draft Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. And now here's the other thing. Maybe we're all overthinking the fact that they're dead in the water, Dable and Shane. Now they might be, but they have $66 million extra cap room. Maybe they get Carter, they have another year, and Kamara, we have to get out of the way, trust them to do it the next year.
Well, we don't know that, Chris, and thank you for the call. We gotta cut you short because we're about to end the show for the week here. I think it's a good call. And I like what you said. I do think because the Giants have had success in Super Bowls, that we do overrate the history of their franchise. And maybe it would take another defensive stud to change things like LT did.
You wish he wasn't going to the operating table in a year or two, which is what the forecast is for Abdul Carter. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of variables here. Bottom line is, Giants have to get a big, big shovel to dig out of this hole. Hey, but if St. John's did it, if nobody had a bigger hole than St. John's over the years.
See you at the Garden tonight.
Giants
good luck,
can do it.
Good luck to the Johnnies.
Let's go, baby. I'll see you tonight. Let's go, St. John's.
And then Monday at 10, we'll be back with you, of course. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks to Zoo and for Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody listening called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.